Chapter 125. Plotting with the Defense Association. It was Ron's day with the invisibility cloak, though he hadn't had much chance to use it. So it was Ron who went outside to greet the DA and invite them in for a little chat. Harry and Hermione, who had just finished getting over a bout of blindness and were feeling jumpy as anything, waited just inside the door. First through the door was Neville, who surprised both Harry and Hermione with hugs. Next came Luna, pale and strangely pristine in tidy robes with straight hair, eyes hidden behind narrow, wire-rimmed glasses. She didn't hug them, which Harry thought was a blessing. An assortment of other members of the DA followed, and a general chatter ensued. They'd been certain, they said, that he'd be back to lead them against Voldemort. Certain it would be okay. Certain they would fight back. Ron came in with Ginny at the end, and Harry was struck by her beauty and by her expression, fierce and vibrant and strange. She looked, he thought, like a warrior goddess. He shook his head and tried to keep up with the various strands of excited and panicked conversation. Ron whistled sharply. "Settle down, everyone. We're not really here. You're just having a regular DA meeting. Mum's the word, right?" Neville nodded. "No one here will say anything to Snape or the Carrows," he said firmly. "I didn't think you would," said Harry. "We three won't be able to stay here for long. Too much chance of getting caught. But we thought we should swing by to help you all cause trouble. And," he added dryly, "Hermione wanted to pick up study guides." This caused some lightening of the mood, which had been his intention. The DA meeting proceeded mostly according to usual routine, splitting up by house and practicing the spell of the day. Disillusionment charms today. Harry was beginning to think there were never too many ways to be invisible. They'd lost their two Slytherins, not that Harry was exactly surprised. Harry took the Ravenclaws, as previously agreed with his friends. And so it was, with studied casualness, that he asked, "I've been looking for Gryffindor's sword, part of why we're here, but I realized I didn't know if the other founders left something like that behind. What about Ravenclaw?"
"Well, there's the lost diadem of Ravenclaw,"
Luna said, pulled out of whatever world she was wandering in her mind.
"Daddy's trying to duplicate it."
The conversation proceeded briskly from there, with little prompting from Harry. Though midway through, the Ravenclaw seemed to catch on he wasn't asking for his help. He donned the invisibility cloak to go with Luna to the Ravenclaw common room.
"I heard about your summer," Harry said quietly as they walked. "I'm sorry."
Luna had developed an elegant glide and a pleasantly neutral expression. Harry hated it.
"It's all right, Harry," she said gently. "I promise I won't help them."
"I never thought you would."
"I never thought Gregory would," she said thoughtfully. "But people can surprise you."
Well, that was horribly awkward.
"You should avoid him, Harry," she continued quietly. "He's very confused right now, and I should hate for you to have to hurt him.
He hasn't really..."
"He thinks that the Dark Lord has won and that we must be practical."
"And you?"
"I am not a very practical person," she said,
with a little bit of her old lightness. "Good," Harry grinned. "Me neither. Very impractical. That's me." Luna giggled softly, and they walked the rest of the way in more peace than awkwardness, only having to double back twice to avoid patrols. The diadem of Ravenclaw was a handsome tiara, Harry saw, and that told him basically nothing. He'd never seen anything like it before in his life. Harry got back to the room of requirement in the middle of an argument. Ginny was saying she was going to call Fred and George to fight, and Ron was yelling and Hermione was pale. "Oi!" Harry shouted. "What's going on?" "We were arguing about the Carrows," Ron reported. "They're awful, but..."
"But the Horcruxes. But the war."
"Right," Harry said. "Tactics and strategy is Hermione's job. If you all want to join our team to fight his snakiness, that is. We're not the Order. We don't have an age limit." Some of the DA agreed to join. Some said they just wanted to keep learning to protect themselves. The latter Harry sent on their way.
Right, Harry said again, after the group had narrowed to the people he trusted. The usual suspects and a few others. Hermione?
We can't fight the Karrows yet, Hermione said. That is, we can't win against them yet. You all... The Death Eaters' weakness is that there aren't very many of them. We have to tie up as many as we can at Hogwarts. Because there are so many students here, we have the advantage of numbers. If we make tormenting them a game, the way we dealt with Umbridge, that's less Death Eaters out on the streets hunting Muggleborn and the Order. I'm sorry, it's not fair, I know that, but that's what you can do now, this year. You said they weren't willing to really hurt you. You're the only ones that can say that right now.
The DA was silent and uneasy. Harry shifted and tried. Not that we won't help. I've got some ideas. Potions, tricks to try, ways to avoid detection. And 3 portable swamps, actually, come to think of it. The best prank's the one you don't have to be there for, right?
Which gave Harry a beautiful, magical idea. It'd be a way to tell Professor Snape something without confronting him, too. And Harry desperately wanted to talk to the man, if only indirectly. And get a mild sort of revenge in the bargain.
Being invited to join a guerrilla warfare effort seemed to soothe the DA's spirits, and the evening turned into a pleasant round of butterbeer, plans to trap and release pixies, ways to shield the lower years from the worst of it while still inspiring them towards rebellion, and plans for after the war, which mostly consisted of laughing while the Death Eaters rotted in Azkaban.